Hello and welcome to the DeMartini Show. If you're a philosopher, an entrepreneur, a leader in business, or a holistic healer, therapist, or coach, and you're on a mission to master your life, make a difference, and leave a legacy, then this podcast, The DeMartini Show with Dr. John DeMartini, is going to take you on an inspired self-development journey. Dr. DeMartini has spent over 47 years researching what drives human behavior and the keys to human performance. The knowledge that he shares will help you to gain the advantage in all the areas of your life. If you are new to the show, click the subscribe button so that we can notify you whenever we load new episodes. And if you love the content of this particular episode, then let us know by leaving us a review. I'm sure that at some point in your life, you've had moments where you've doubted yourself, questioned your talents and abilities, where probably you've not valued yourself as you deserve to be valued, and even possibly lowered your self-worth. So this week's episode, Dr. DeMartini talks about the mindset shifts that will instantly boost your self-confidence so that you can stand in your true power and express your full potential. Get ready for another information-packed, inspiring session. Enjoy.
Now, most people would love to have the certainty, the certitude, the transcend the doubtfulness that we often face during the day to make decisions and to be able to move forward in our life. I'd like to address that topic. So I'd like you to get a piece of paper out or something to write with or take some notes on an iPad or something, because what I'm going to share goes against the grain of what you may be thinking. And I'd like to elaborate on this because I think there's a lot of misinformation around this topic, and I'd like to clarify. Now, there's no way I can do justice to this topic without discussing human values, which I do in almost every presentation I present. So I want you to imagine a ladder with seven rungs on it, and the very top of the ladder is a highest value you have, highest priority, thing that's most important in your life. And as you go down the ladder, rungs of the ladder, to the lower ladder rung, you have the thing that's less valuable, less priority, less important. As you go up the ladder and you go up to the highest values, the values become intrinsically driven. And as you go down, they become extrinsically driven. Now, intrinsically driven means that you are spontaneously inspired from within to act upon the things that are highest on your value. And you require extrinsic motivation from without to work on and work towards the lower values. I use the example of a young boy who loves video games. He is spontaneously inspired to do his video game, but he needs to be motivated to do his chores, his homework, his schoolwork, etc., clean his room. Everyone has a hierarchy of values, a set of values. And everyone has areas where they spontaneously are inspired from within to act, and areas where they require external motivation to get them to do things. I spontaneously love researching and teaching. Nobody has to remind me to do that. I do it every day. But I would need motivation, extrinsic motivation, reward if I do it, punishment if I don't, to cook or drive or do domestic type activities. That's just not me. I've delegated and surrounded myself with people to do that. So whatever is highest on your value is where you're going to excel. That's where you're disciplined, reliable, and focused. And whatever is lower on your value, you're going to decel. You're going to have procrastination, hesitation, and frustration. Now, as you go through life, if you live congruently and in alignment with what you value most, you will spontaneously act. And as a result of it, you will feel spontaneous energy to go and act. Because when you're doing something high in your values, your energy goes up. When you're doing something low in your values, your energy goes down. And when you're doing something that you're inspired by, that's highest on your value, you tend to stay focused on it, you're disciplined. As a result of it, you would tend to achieve, and you tend to want to go after more achievables. And so you pursue even challenges that inspire you, which causes innovation, creativity, and wakes up your natural born genius and your own natural leader. Everyone has a leader inside them when they live congruently by their highest values. It may not be the leader of what you think it should be, but it's a leader according to what you have as your highest value. And many times we don't honor that, and we compare ourselves to others and don't honor and appreciate what is really valuable to us. We try to fit in instead of stand out. Now, How does that relate to mind shifts? How does it relate to dissolving fears? I'm getting there, so stay with it. Whenever you're doing something to tie in your values, because you're willing to embrace the challenges in the pursuit of it, and you won't give up, and the why is big enough, the hows take care of themselves, you automatically are willing to embrace the pains and the pleasures, the support and the challenge, the ease and the difficulties, the positives and the negatives, and you're more objective in the pursuit of what's highest on your value. But as you go down the lower values, you become more subjective. And what does that mean? When you're living by highest values, your blood glucose and oxygen goes into the forebrain, your medial prefrontal cortex, your executive center, and you pursue what is called objectives, which by definition, objectivity means neutral and balanced-minded. So you pursue things that are balanced, that are obtainable, and you're setting goals that are obtainable, and you embrace the challenges in the pursuit of it, and you pre-plan it with strategic planning, and you mitigate the risk, and you're prepared with foresight to what comes, and you have a higher probability of achievement. But when you're going in the lower values and trying to live by lower values, attempting to, what happens is your blood glucose and oxygen goes into the subcortical areas. It goes into the basal ganglia and the limbic brain and the area that we could call the amygdala. And what's interesting is that amygdala is a desire center which wants to avoid pain, seek pleasure, avoid predator, seek prey, avoid challenge, seek support, avoid difficulty, seek ease. It's a hedonistic center. It wants immediate gratification and pleasure. It wants to avoid all challenges. Now, as a result of that, it is your impulsive, compulsive, immediate gratifying consumer behavior area. And it is the one that basically lets the external world run you by desires, impulses towards things, or instincts away from things, to try to avoid the predator. So when we're in the impulse and instinct area of the subcortical areas of the amygdala, the world on the outside runs us, because anything we infatuate with occupies space and time in our mind and runs us. We've all been infatuated and could hardly sleep at night because it's preoccupying our mind. Or something that we resent preoccupies our mind and runs our mind and keeps us up all night. So anytime we're in the desire center, we get distracted. We become extrinsically, you might say, needing motivation. And as a result of it, we're not our peak. We're not at our peak performance. Now, let's take a peek at this. When we live congruently with our highest values, we excel. When we live by lower values, we decelerate. What makes us do that? Well, let's say we walk in a mall and we meet somebody and we see somebody that is, we perceive to be more intelligent than us. Or we perceive them to be more high achieving and successful than us. We perceive that they have more wealth or more financial security than us. We perceive that they have a more stable relationship, more attractive spouse. We perceive that they have more social savvy or connections or network or Facebook leads or something. We perceive that they're more physically fit or more attractive. We perceive that they're more spiritually aware or inspired by their life. Anytime we compare ourselves to another individual and we are too humble to admit what we see in them inside us, and we exaggerate them and minimize us and put them on a pedestal and put ourselves in a pit, we automatically inject some of their values that we imagine they live by and cloud the clarity of our own highest value where we excel and dilute our potential. That's why we're not here to compare ourselves to others. We're here to compare our own daily actions to our own highest values. When we compare our own actions to our own highest values and live by priority, if we fill our day with high priority actions that inspire us, we raise our self-worth and gain momentum. But if we live by lower values, we lose that. We dissipate that. Because anytime we're living by lower values and we devalue ourselves, that is not a bad thing. It is a normal physiological response to let us know, because we're unfulfilled, to let us know we're not living congruently with what our highest value is. Our highest value is what our life's identity revolves around. And this is where we excel with knowledge. This is where we excel with clarity of purpose. In fact, our purpose is an expression of our highest value. epistemologically, we learn most in our highest value area. And so anytime you compare yourself to somebody else and put them on a pedestal and inject some of their values into your life and try to live in those values, which are lower than your own, you devalue yourself and self-depreciate. So limited beliefs are simply the injected values of others that you've chosen to subordinate to. And you're attempting to live outside your own highest values. And anytime you attempt to live outside your own highest values, the probability of you achieving goes down. The probability of you having self-confidence and self-deserve goes down. And that's not a mistake. That's not a weakness. It is a normal biological, psychological response to let you know as a feedback that you're not living authentically according to what you value most. People with the positive thinking movement want you to think that you want to get rid of that. But I'm not here to tell you to get rid of it. I'm here to tell you that it's a gift. It's a guidance feedback to let you know that you're trying to be somebody you're not. Albert Einstein said that if you are a cat and you're trying to expect yourself to swim like a fish and you're looking up to a fish because of their ability to swim, you're going to beat yourself up. And if you're a fish expecting to climb a tree like a cat, you're going to beat yourself up. But if you honor yourself as a cat and have an expectation matched on your own highest value as a cat, you'll climb magnificently, or you'll swim if you're a fish magnificently. So the moment you're authentic and setting goals that are congruent and aligned with what's authentic to you, your self-worth goes up, your confidence goes up, your achievements go up, your leadership goes up, your willingness to wake up your genius goes up, and you maximize your potential as a human being. But the moment you compare yourself to others and try to live in other people's values and try to be somebody you're not, you are designed to self-depreciate. You are designed to have, quote, limited beliefs, because you're expecting to live in something that's not really important to you. You just think it is. Most people don't know what their values are. I've been doing value determinations for 42 plus years. And I'm certain that the majority of people, if you ask them what their values are, they'll tell you social idealisms. They'll tell you the things that they think that society expects. And conformity is not what's going to lead to enormity. You're not going to have an enormous life of achievement when you're conforming and fitting in, because you're trying to be somebody you're not. And it's called a lost soul to theologians. You've lost yourself, your individuality. We have a yearning to want to make a difference in the world. We're not going to make a difference fitting in. We're going to make a difference standing out. And our own hierarchy of values are unique to us. No two people have the same hierarchy of values. So the most unique you can be is to live aligned and congruent with what you value most. And giving yourself permission to shine in that area instead of shrink by conformity. Ernest Becker, in his Pulitzer Prize-winning book, Denial of Death, talked about the collective hero versus the individual hero. The collective hero is the one that thinks they're going to get some extra points by fitting in and losing their identity and being part of the group, the herd instinct, and the fear of rejection, the fear of banishment, the fear of loss of support by other group. And this is what clouds the clarity of a human mission. Fitting in is what clouds the clarity. Standing out is what does it. It's an unborrowed vision, as Ayn Rand describes. An unborrowed visionary is somebody who lives congruently by their own values, creates an original ideas that serve, and follows a pathway and blazes a new trail that's been unblazed before. And what's interesting, if you are living by other people's values and trying to live in their values, you'll self-defeat. So we automatically live in a phobia when we try to live by aphilia. Aphilia is a fantasy of an assumption that if I live and be like them, life's going to be better. Emerson warned against this, the transcendentalist. Envy is ignorance and imitation is suicide. We're not here to be somebody we're not. Why to be second at somebody else when we can be first at being who we are? I'd much rather be first at who I am than not. When I got asked by Vogue magazine a number of years ago in an interview, they interviewed me for 17 questions. And the last question is, Dr. DeMartini, if there's anybody in the world you could be, who would you want to be? And I go, why on earth would you ask such a question? I have no desire to be anybody but me. Why would you want to be second at somebody else when you could be first at being you? When you live congruently with your highest values, you honor yourself. you are able to make wisdom decisions. Your heuristics of decision-making is at the highest level because you spontaneously are inspired from within to act. And so you are able to gather information. The pulvinar nuclei on the thalamus is a filter and gating mechanism for all the sensory information. And when you live according to your highest values, it maximizes its potential to be able to gather information and have a selective information source. It allows us to actually synchronize the events in our life and be able to take actions without hesitation. That's why when we live by lower values, we procrastinate, hesitate, frustrate. We live by higher values, we discipline, reliable, and focused.
Listen up. Imagine knowing with absolute certainty that your life is working for you, that you're on track, and that you're making progress towards the goals and dreams that you desire every day. If you've been an avid listener to this podcast, you'll have heard Dr. DeMartini mention his signature program, The Breakthrough Experience. It's a two-day weekend seminar where he shows you how to take everything that you've been learning on this podcast and put it into practice so that you can gain the shifts that you most desire for your life. If you would love to transform your life, and if you've been a little bit uncertain where to start or how to get there, then join Dr. John DeMartini at The Breakthrough Experience so he can show you how. What you'll learn in these 2 days is truly life transforming. It's time to put the power in your hands to create your magnificent life. To find out more, go to demartini.fm/seminar. You can also access the link in the show notes below. We look forward to seeing you there. And now let's continue with this episode.
Another thing that interferes with us is when we compare ourselves to others, not looking up to them, but looking down on them. Whenever we actually put somebody in a pit, instead of infatuating and putting them on a pedestal, instead of putting them in a heart, we put them in a pit, we tend to project our values onto them and try to get them to live in our values. And as you're, if you're married, you know that that's futile. You're not going to get fruitfulness out of that. And if you try to get them to live in your values, they can't, because every decision they make is based on what they value at the time and what they believe will give them the greatest advantage over disadvantage to their own hierarchy of values. So if you expect them to live in your values, you're going to have frustration. So anytime you try to live in somebody else's values and inject other people's values and get the superego, as Freud would call it, trying to run your life, you'll hear yourself saying, I should, I ought to, I supposed to, I got to, I have to, I must, which is an imperative language, which is a sign of an injected values of some outside authority, which Freud called the superego, which then causes an internal moralization of ourselves. And we're judging ourselves, thinking we're making mistakes. We never make mistakes in our own highest values. We only make mistakes when we compare our actions to somebody else's. And we only think other people make mistakes when we compare their actions to our values. Putting people in pits and putting people on pedestals instead of putting people in hearts, in a sense, causes a devaluation of you, a devaluation of them, instead of a reflective consciousness, which allows you to maximize your and their values, to help you respect another individual, to be able to communicate equitably with equanimity. And that is the most powerful, sustainable, transactional, fair exchange state you can be in. So we're not here to put people on pedestals. We're not here to put people in pits. We're here to put them in our hearts. And when we respect them, which is what we call that, we communicate most effectively what inspires us in terms of what's inspiring to them. When we do, we don't try to change us relative to them or them relative to us. And people don't want to be changed. They want to be loved for who they are. And so do you. So if you're basically comparing your actions to your own highest values and filling your day with the highest priority actions that inspire you, instead of comparing yourself to other people, you automatically maximize your potential. And when you do, you don't have the limited beliefs that are injected, which are you trying to live in somebody else's values. And anytime you try to live in other people's values, that's a fantasy. And every fantasy creates a phobia, a nightmare. A phobia is an assumption that you're about to experience in the future more drawbacks and benefits, more negatives than positives, because you're expecting a fantasy of trying to live outside your authentic self in somebody else's values. It won't work. We've all done that when we've been infatuated. Think back of a time when you were really, really infatuated with somebody that you were enamored with. I had it one time when I was about 20, this Spanish model that I got to date. Woo, man. I normally was studying physics and chemistry and pre-med and all the basic studies. And all of a sudden I meet this girl and I was so enamored with her. I started doing pom-pom dancing and dancing with her, stuff I normally didn't do, things way low on my value list. The first week it was kind of fun, But after a while, I realized I was letting my studies down. I was not being myself. I was feeling like I was sacrificing. And eventually I wanted my life back. I wanted to be honored for who I was, my own studies and what was important to me. But during infatuations, when we put people on pedestals, we'll sacrifice our own highest values to try to fit into them because we fear the loss of the individual we put on pedestals. We fear the gain of the people we put in pits, but we fear the loss of the people we put on pedestals. And the fear of loss of that which we seek and the fear of gain of that which we try to avoid is the phobias we live in when we judge. So if we want to transcend judgments and phobias, it's absolutely essential that we stick to what's priority in our life and go after objectives where we embrace both resiliently, objectively, neutrally, where we're not highly infatuated or highly resentful, not trying to change ourselves relative to others or changing others relative to ourselves, and are centered. In the Buddhist teachings, it said that that which you seek is the source of your suffering and that which you try to avoid. If you're seeking that which is unavailable and you're trying to avoid that which is unavoidable, you're suffering. And a lot of our self-depreciating, phobic, limited belief constructs are simply because we're judging. And if we actually get focused on what's really, really, really priority in our life and stick to what's really priority, we transcend it. So here's in a nutshell. I know I've said a lot and you hopefully are taking notes and trying to get what you can out of it. But just know that if you fill your day with the highest priority actions that you can conceive of each day and stick to those and do them and break them down into small daily actions for the day, not goal overrun projects that take days and weeks, because you never every day you finish, you still always something left. I learned many years ago by Mary Kay to make sure you set goals that are broken down to small enough bites that you get them achieved so you have an achievement feeling. And every single day, piggy banks become biggy banks. Little actions make big dreams. And you build momentum to like a domino effect to larger projects. So chunk big projects down to small bites. Live by priority each day. Your own priorities according to your own values. If you haven't determined your values, please go on my website. There's a value determination process that's free, it's complimentary, and it automatically is going to help you get clear on that. If you do it that today, and you do it a week from now, and a month from now, and do it again, and get really clear, be honest with the answers, it'll help you set real goals that you get real achievement on. By doing that and focusing on the highest priorities, you build momentum. The most any human being can do on a daily basis to live by priority. That's the key. I learned that many years ago. And if you delegate lower priority things and stick to the highest priority thing, you will automatically connect with the highest potential you have inside. It's so important to live by highest priorities. Your self-worth goes up, your achievements go up, and you expand your space and time horizons. You give yourself permission to do something greater. Things you didn't even know you're capable of doing, you start to emerge when you live congruently by highest values. So on a daily basis, live by highest priorities. On a daily basis, watch what happens. If you ask yourself, what is the highest priority action I can do today that can help me fulfill my mission on planet Earth and make the biggest difference to the greatest number of people with the resources I have today in the most efficient, effective manner, if you do that on a daily basis and stick to that one thing that shows up at highest priority, and then master the art of doing that in a way that serves people so you can be remunerated for it and paid for it so you can delegate lower priority things, you're on your way to having an inspired life. So you don't have to have limited beliefs. You don't have to have self-depreciation. You don't have to have the phobias. You can have an inspired life. I've lived it. I'm absolutely certain it's doable. I've trained people on it. And so can you do it. So just in case this is fresh in your mind, you might want to listen to this again. If it's something you've heard many times, because I say it over and over again, great. About the time you know what I'm about to say is the time it's getting in and sticking. But just know that that is one of the keys of a fulfilling life. Living by design, not default, by something that inspires you, not desperations, and living authentic to you, not trying to be somebody you're not. We're not here to be copycats. We're not here to live in the shadows of anyone. We're here to stand on the shoulders of giants. Now, one thing I'd like to end with is that in order for you to be able to create kind of what I call an immortal legacy, imagine you're on a Wikipedia page and they've written something about you 1,000 years from now, 100 years from now, or even 10 years from now, or a year from now. How would you like it to read? What do you want it to say? If you don't decide and decide how you want your life and master plan your life, other people are going to design it. If you don't empower your life, other people overpower it. You're not a victim of them. You're simply not empowered. So you have to decide. Nobody's going to get up in the morning and dedicate your life to your fulfillment. That's going to be based on you. Take the time to define your priorities, what your objectives are, make sure they're balanced, make sure they're true and congruent, and watch what happens. You'll expand your space and time horizons, and you'll create your legacy. And that's the difference you want to make in life. And there's no reason why you can't do it. Now, as a gift, I'd like to share something with you. I have a little program called Awakening Your Astronomical Vision. This is a program I did at a planetarium in Johannesburg to a CEO group, a YPO group, where a bunch of CEOs of companies were there. And I did a presentation in the planetarium and talk about it as a metaphor for having an astronomical vision. If you want to make a difference globally, particularly now with the internet world that we're in, there's no reason why you can't make a global difference. If you want to make a difference globally, it will take an astronomical vision. People who live inside themselves shrink. But if they have a vision at least as big as their family, they can get beyond their own fears. If they take a vision and make it as big as the community, they get beyond their own family. If they can get beyond that and see a vision of the city, they can actually be leader in the community. If they make a vision as big as the state, they can become a leader in the city. If they make a vision as big as a nation, they can be a leader in the state. If they can make a vision as big as the world, they can be a leader in the nation. And if they have an astronomical vision, they can be a leader in the world. And there's no reason why you can't do something amazing and do something that's really inspiring to you and become the greatest at what you do in your highest values. That's the key. That's what we're capable of doing. And there's no reason not to. And this particular CD that I have here, I want you to listen to it more than once. It's very powerful. It's an inspiring CD, and it will give you help you get an astronomical vision. It's actually going to be it was a CD. It's actually going to be online. All you have to do is go to demartini.inc/shift to claim it. Just take care of this and go and do this now, because if you listen to this multiple times, I promise you, it's going to be worth the time spent. I know that the individuals that listened to it that day were blown away, and I know that if you listen to it, you will have the same effect. It will give you more permission to do something more extraordinary with your life. And that's what I want. I travel the world full time, even though with Corona, I've been a little bit less on the travels, but I've been doing it for 47, almost 48 years. And I'm absolutely certain that if you fill your day with high priority actions and do what it's on the CD, it's going to help you do more extraordinary outcomes with your life. You deserve to live an inspired life. So I just wanted to share that, because now we have a deeper understanding of the mindset shifts for transforming limited beliefs or doubt into an inspirational life. So thank you for joining me. Please take advantage of this Awakening Your Astronomical Vision. Get it now. And I look forward to seeing you at the next special presentation that I get to do. Thank you so much for your attention. And please, if you have a value of this, please check out my podcast, Dr. DeMartini's Show. The podcast there are filled with inspirational messages like we've had just now. And also, please take advantage of the educational experience of my website. And I look forward to seeing you live. So thank you for helping. And please share the message. Let people know about this information. This information could make a difference in your life. Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, this was just a small sample of what Dr. DeMartini has to share. If you'd love to continue learning from Dr. DeMartini, then please click the subscribe button so that you're notified when we add the next episode. If you'd love to find out more about Dr. DeMartini and his work, then please log on to our website, drdemartini.com, and use the online chat function to talk to a member of our DeMartini team. We'd really love to get to know you and to understand what you're wanting to achieve so that we can best guide you through the appropriate education session to achieve your goals and dreams. We'd also love to invite you to join us in the DeMartini Stay Inspired Facebook group, which you can access by linking to demartini.inc/inspired. Our goal in the community is to help you to clarify your vision, stay focused and inspired, and take the appropriate actions to empower all seven areas of your life. So join us by linking to demartini.inc/inspired. That's it for this episode. We look forward to sharing more inspiration from Dr. DeMartini shortly. Until next time, stay focused, stay inspired.